Hi, everyone. This is Gary Barkalow and with Sam Williamson on the phone. And this is a part two, a sequel to the last conversation that we had, which was 2 weeks ago, on what is our transcendent pursuit for 2012. And last time, gosh, we went an hour and a half or an hour and 15 minutes and had to cut it off because we had so many people that wanted to share what that was for them. And then people giving comments either by the chat box or actually on the phone by raising their hand and verbalizing their comment, their question, their encouragement. And so we were forced to go to a part two, and that's where we are today. So what we would love to do is have those of you who did not get a chance to share what you wrote down of your transcendent pursuit, actually to do that, to actually be on the phone line versus the webcast. Because we would not only love to see what your transcendent pursuit for 2012 is, but we'd love for you to articulate. We'd love to hear it in your voice. And so let me go back and just recap something from the last time. The reason we're calling this your transcendent pursuit is because we really need to live at a deeper level, not from the other things, but a deeper level than goals and objectives. At the level of what we're calling transcendent pursuit, meaning, let me start with the second word, pursuit. You know, pursuit is something that we reserve for things which we hold very dear, which truly form and inform our life. Like we talk about pursuing a woman, pursuing love, pursuing God, pursuing our dreams, pursuing our heart. And so we want to put that kind of weightiness to the word of what we're talking about when we talk about pursuit, something that really comes from our heart, from our being. We're putting our whole life into it. And then the word transcendent, meaning it really does transcend ordinary life beyond the mundane, which would be something like, I just would like to lose 10 pounds. You know, I'd like to get a savings account going. I'd like to run a marathon. You know, those are all good things, but they're not really transcendent per se. But something that we feel like it transcends the mundane. It's something, it has to do something with our actual life and heart, our place in the kingdom of God, our place in this world. And so that's why we called it that. Now, I don't want to put any more definition than that to what we're doing, because that may intimidate us. It actually intimidates me when I wrote down. But I guess maybe to inspire us. And so what we need to do, because we have quite a few guys that didn't have a turn last time, what we'd like to do is limit your articulating it on the phone to about 3 minutes. And what we'll do is Sam and I will actually look through the list of those who haven't had a chance to share, and I emailed those names to everyone in Basecamp. And then we'll see who's on the phone, and we'll pick you. And once we go through that list, if there's times, we may pick you if you're not on the phone, but you're on the webcast and therefore on the chat line, only because we'd love to hear from you. So with all that said, Sam, why don't you pick the first guy that we'd love to hear from?
Yeah, I'm going to do that. And Randy Luce, I'm going to pick you. And so I'm unmuting you, and let me and by the way, there's a few other guys who I can see are on the chat line but haven't called in. So if, you know, we'd love to hear your story too, and so if you look at the homepage of the base camp, you'll see the number to call in, and we can talk to you as well. But Randy, you wrote back on January 3rd, I'll tell you, I love the way you described this to start with. You said, wow, it took me a while to work through this. I've been hibernating over the holidays, protecting my heart from the enemy's assault. And I just love the way you said that, Randy. I really love the way you said that. And I was wondering if you could just share with us your transcendent pursuit for 2012.
Sure. Thanks, Sam. You know, I'll read this, but then to not take too much time, try to get through it quick, because then there's some reflections that I need to make on it. So my transcendent pursuit for 2012 is to learn how to practice walking in the Spirit each day, to take intimacy with God beyond my journal to each meeting, relationship, and task that I face each day. a tall order, but commitment nonetheless. I can only start by making this my prayer and to commit to praying about this through each day. The second part of this is to include my prayer, in my prayer, a request for discernment of what I'm really dealing with, that is, spiritual forces that oppose God's purposes and claiming God's authority over them. The final part of this is to continue to share with other men the intimacy that God has shown me and is both available and his desire for us. Then I put that verse down there from Romans, which really spoken to me.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting about this, Sam, is after reading your recent blog, my desire in what I was writing was really revealed in your blog. And because I've been dealing with a similar circumstance, some career issues, for really 4 years now. I left the last company I was with in the end of 2008. And it's just been a struggle. And what really you pointed out to me is how easily it is for me to really get focused on just, you know, that one issue, trying to work through that issue. And how easy it is to be blinded to what God, you know, may be up to. And just a little bit of clarity sometimes would be, you know, unbelievable blessing. And I get a little bit of that clarity sometimes. But it's just so you just said it so poignantly about, and it just revealed to me how easily it is for me to be focused on that one issue, this career stuff, you know. I'm in the midst of some negotiations with somebody, and, you know, I have no idea where it's going to end up, but if something doesn't happen, you know, I'm going to end up having to probably sell our house, which we've been in since 1985. It'd be difficult to do, and, you know, and then to do that, and you may have some money in the bank, but not be able to buy another house and not know, you know, when things are going to turn around. You just live on that for a while. So anyway, a lot of people have been through that struggle of late, and I know I'm no different than a lot of folks, but I just appreciated the way you got really kind of opened your eyes to, you know, how focused you had gotten on just getting one answer, and I feel like that I really identified with that.
Well, thanks, Randy. No, I really appreciate that. That's gracious of you. Do me a favor and tell me, without looking at your blog here, so without looking at your post, you say that you want to learn how to practice walking in the Spirit each day. Just describe that a little bit more. What do you mean by that? You know, you said you want to go beyond your journal. So what does it look like?
Well, one of the things that God really did turn my life upside down about 5 years ago when I really began to hear from God, and it was primarily in my journal. When I'd take questions to God and I'd hear answers from God. And when it first started, I could carry a conversation on with God for an hour or two, and it was just mind-boggling to me. It was, you know, unique to me. I'd never experienced anything like that, never expected to experience anything like that. So those times have been rich. But I feel like when I leave that behind and get into my day to whatever I'm working on, I kind of have an agenda set where, you know, like you go into those other salesmen went into that meeting where they think they know what they're supposed to do and they aren't being sensitive to what's going on around them. And I'm so easily blinded by my own agenda and trying to do what I think I should do and not really paying attention. Well, I mean, I think I'm a pretty good listener when I'm in business meetings, but more not listening to what God may be up to and trying to be sensitive to that.
I just think that sounds great, Randy. I mean, I love the way you said that. Is when you're journaling, you're actually listening. I mean, what you said is true of all of us. So the reason I like it is you're saying it for us. Is when you're journaling, you're more in a mode of listening. But then, you know, when you go out to meetings and stuff, you're sort of in the mode of your agenda. I hate to say it, but I think you're speaking for all of us.
You know, and there's a second part to that, Sam, that everybody's experienced too, is thinking that maybe you should say or do something, and for me, it's being fearful of rejection or whatever and not really stepping out. So there's another issue of obedience that goes along with that too.
Well, do you think that's the reason we have our agenda sometimes? Is because if we sort of thought it out in advance, we look better. But if we're just sort of in the moment listening to God or something, we don't look, I don't know, as cool or as together or something? Do you think that's part of it?
I'm sure it is, of course. You know, nobody wants to look the fool, and, you know, we think we know how to do that or do our best to prepare for it, and that's not discounting the necessity of doing that, of being prepared. But at the same time, you know, I think we all can think of the stories of people that listened to God, spoke up, or you know, did something a little bit out of character because they were listening to God, and the result of that is so much better than what we might have thought of.
So without looking at your post, describe again for me your transcendent pursuit for 2012 in brand new words. If you can do that, I know that I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, no. Walk with God. I mean, just be not so caught up in my own preconceived ideas, being able to hear his voice when he speaks.
I think that's great. I mean, that is a great transcendent pursuit. One last question. How do you want to pursue that? I mean, I love this. I really love it. How do you want to pursue it? So that's a good wish.
Not being good at that means it's kind of exploration. You know, I'm taking some risk, and the only thing I said to start with is just to pray about it and ask God to make me more sensitive. And that's why I like that quote from Romans out of the Message where, you know, it's about relying on God in faith instead of trying to change ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's really good. And again, I have a feeling, I'm sure, Randy, everybody's nodding their head right now going, okay, I'm going to add that to my list.
Yeah, which, that's what I was doing, Gary.
which is so cool.
I even like the way you phrased it.
Yeah. Yep. Good. Guys, any other comments you want to make or anything here while we're before we go on to the next person? Well, Randy, one of the things, I'll tell you this, and we're going to do this with everyone, is what we're going to do is probably come back to each guy, you know, in 2 or 3 weeks, and then in another 2 or 3 weeks, and just ask, how's it going? And what's going on from what you have written down, and what can we learn from that? So this will be fascinating to follow you and everyone, as you know, as they pursue this in their life in this year. So
that's
thank
great.
You. Yep, thanks. Okay, I'll tell you what, Sam, why don't we go to, you were suggesting, that's a great idea, why don't we go to Jim McFarland? So, Jim, I'm going to unmute you here, and would love for you to share your transcendent pursuit. You're on.
Hey, Gary.
Hey there.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me, so this is totally kind of shooting from the hip, but I know I've just expressed that in realizing, you know, just in the last 6 months when I went to your calling event, that God has a calling for my life. You know, for me, that was just so transcendent because I've just felt like there's something more, you know, there's something more in my life. And it's just listening to all these guys, you know, in the base camp and the fact that they're pursuing their calling and some of them, you know, have achieved it, but even those that aren't, you know, they're all trying. It's a transcendent brotherhood. You know, I realize I'm not alone in this pursuit that I'm going after, and it's just so encouraging. It's every day. You know, I wake up and I think, you know, what is the calling? And I just finished the book one you recommended called Callings, written by Greg Lavoie, and he had a statement in there that he said. He had a single act of forgiveness that he felt was a lifelong calling. And I thought, what do you mean by that? Because he didn't say it in the book, so I sent him an email. And he answered me, and he said, I just pulled it up. He said, I just mean that my soul had been calling to me for most of my life to forgive my mother for transgressions committed or perceived. And he said it seemed to have all the earmarks of any other kind of calling, in terms of being an urgency from deep within, one that won't leave me alone. And I had a similar experience, but it had to do with forgiveness. So I think for me, you know, pursuing my calling is twofold. It's like Randy said before, it's walking with the Spirit, and at the same time, you know, letting the Spirit convict me of unbelief in areas and letting go of those so that I can pursue it.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of in a nutshell where I'm at.
So is your sense that maybe in this season of your life that God is focused on something that he just wants to free you from? So, in other words, he's focused very internally right now on doing something, healing something. That's kind of his focus for you right now?
No, I don't think it was so much that, but he just pointed out to me that, you know, I went through a period of forgiveness that just kind of blew me away, and I can't explain it on the phone, but mm-hmm. it was something I wasn't aware of, and I needed to be more forgiving. And so at the same time, it was like once he took me through that season, and I, you know, not that I'm a more forgiving person now, but it was something that I wasn't aware of, and it truly blessed me and my whole family, you know, just understanding that. But now it's more about just, you know, what is God's calling for my life? You know, why was I created, and you know, how can I give back to others? You know, in a deep way. I think one guy in a book, the same book, he said, I learned my calling, you know, better when I learned to, you know, love people on a deeper level. So
Jim, this is Sam. What, I mean, right now at this moment in your life, January 18th, 2012, mm-hmm. what do you feel is the kind of glimmer or sense that God is giving you about what your calling is?
I think for this time right now, I'm seeing that the men's groups that I'm having contact with in my church, we've all realized that we're stuck.
Uh-huh.
There's something in our lives that's holding us back, or there's a, you know, this bag of rocks that we're carrying, and the thing that's freeing is that a lot of men can see you carrying that, you know, that you're unaware of it, and they can, you know, they can say, isn't that getting heavy, you know, aren't you going to let that go? And so I guess what I'm excited about is trying to bring other men kind of into the fold and to pursue their calling, you know, and not give up, but realize that God, you know, God has so much more for us.
But, yes, so part of your calling, you're saying, is helping guys open up to figuring out what their calling is?
Right.
How do you think you do that? Do you ask them questions? Do you just get them thinking about things? How do you think you do it? You organize groups?
Well, we've been going through a series. I forget. I've just lost it now. But there's a lot of good teaching out there, you know. But I just feel like the Gary's book, you know, Finding Your Calling, is closer than anything else I've found to help men discover that they do have a calling. And I don't know. I feel like, you know, there's this, you receive the Holy Spirit when you're saved, and then there's this quickening of the Spirit that kind of works with your calling. And I feel like I wasn't there, you know. I was saved, but there was so much more, so.
Yeah.
I don't know if that answers your question, but.
No, that helps. So let me ask you, Jim, does this feel like a hopeful, exciting time, or does this feel more like walking into a time of fog? How would you describe, what does your heart feel about walking, what you're walking into?
Oh, it's very exciting, but at the same time, it's very, very mysterious. But I mean, I just in January, I just sat down and I thought, okay, if I don't discover my calling, you know, in the next 2 years, is there a way I could retire in the next 3 or 4 years so that I could pursue it full time? I mean, so I started physically figuring out what it would take to retire so that I could pursue it full time and help others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a practical. It's not really transcendent, but I mean, I want to get there, you know.
Right.
Hey, Jim, can you hear me? This is Jeff Andreessen.
Yes.
Hey, Jim, where do you work?
I work for Boeing in Seattle.
What do you do for them?
I protect information. I work in industrial security.
Oh, okay.
So, Jeff, he can't say much to you right now.
No, I can tell you it's not my calling, though.
He can't even say what he just told you.
Might be surprised. You know, I had the pleasure this year of going to the Boeing plant in Seattle and watching them build those airplanes. And it was a phenomenal process. I fly Boeings, so to go back and see them building them was a phenomenal experience. But, you know, after they build them, they have to have a test pilot take them out and find out if everything's working okay, so that this airplane will fly like it's designed to fly. And so if there's a bleed valve that's not working on the number two engine, that test pilot, he takes it up for a ride and figures out this bleed valve's not working. We need to fix this so this airplane does what it's specified to do. And, you know, one of the great things about calling is that the Spirit of God comes in to clear the way for your calling. And one of the things that he does is he clears away the things that you're holding on to. And one of them is lack of forgiveness. There are some things that we need to forgive in order for this airplane to run right. And I'm not sure if what I'm trying to say is that forgiveness isn't so much your calling. It's one of the things that's in the way that will block your calling. And that sometimes this is what needs to take place before they give that airplane to its rightful owner. And this is the process, it sounds like, that God has got you in right now. And, you know, there's other things that will block you from your calling. And one of them is that, you know, you've been lied to all your life, too, about who you are. There's a lot more to your life than you can ever imagine. And we've been lied to, and unfortunately, we make agreements with those lies. And they also hold us back. And so the Spirit of God has to come in and clear those out also. You know, things that we've believed about ourselves that are not true. And that, you know, the Lord's saying, hey, you're cleared to fly, and you feel very much grounded, you know. So that's what it sounds like to me, is one of the things that God is working out, is just clearing the way for you in order to understand who you really are. And forgiveness is a huge part of that. And that's for us all, Jim, as you say that. We all need to take account right there and go, okay, hey, what baggage are we carrying here that we shouldn't be, you know?
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing that. I think you're right on, you know, because it's a kind of a give and take, you know. You want to take your calling, but you have to give up the things that are going to slow you down, even if you discover your calling.
Exactly. Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for that. I appreciate it.
You bet.
And Jim, just when you said, I really want to, in the next 2 years, I want to figure this out as I head into retirement, so I can put my whole heart into it. That's transcendent.
Yeah, that's good.
That is. And so, gosh, yes. I mean, I think our heart, all of us listening on this phone and those who can't make it, would be, we want to do whatever we can to help you discover that, articulate that, refine that, as we all want that for ourselves as well. So I think you're at a good place here with us and us with you.
Well, good. I appreciate it. I'm just waiting for an intensive calling to come to the West Coast.
Well, you know what? I'm hoping
we're going to talk to Chris Skaggs next. Let's ask him.
Right.
All right, Chris.
We're pushing him real hard right now on nailing a date down in May, so he probably feels that pressure. So anyway, so Jim, thank you. We're going to go to Chris now, so thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Okay.
Hey, Chris.
So we have Chris on the phone now?
I just unmuted him, so.
Okay, and I had to unmute me too.
Okay.
You unmuted yourself too.
Telemute.
Yeah, and so Chris is going to talk about coming out.
That's a little awkward, doesn't it?
So, hey, so first of all, before you get into your transcendent pursuit, have you guys made a decision on the now one remaining date in May?
That is the most likely date on May 17th. Right now we have some, we're discussing basically availability with a couple of venues. So
okay.
it might be that date. I think a week later is an alternate date, and we're trying to nail down what's available. We go past May, we start competing with people who are doing summer camps, and that gets a lot harder.
Right, right. Okay, well, I'm just telling you that you're right now, you're holding up Jim from finding his calling, so this is a real
Jim, I won't
deal,
let you down.
Buddy. So, anyway.
And it's nice, he did the whole West Coast. So, like, he has no, I mean, it could be anywhere, right? We could be in Baja for all he knows.
That would be really nice. But see, if you finally just do it, I could walk in my calling, you could walk in your calling, you could walk in his calling. It's all dependent on you. So,
right on.
So,
and I see Randy says he has a place in San Diego. That'd be awesome.
You
but
know
we
what?
Are in
There's,
Portland, alas.
You know what? The West Coast is big enough. We need several of them.
That's what I'm
so,
talking
hey.
About. Randy, you got to have your own camp, man.
Exactly. So, okay, buddy, Chris, what? Tell us about your, talk through your transcendent pursuit.
Okay, so when you brought this out, I wound up where just shortly before that I'd had a chance to do a dog day, and we've been running this business for about the last.
What is a dog day, Chris? What is a dog day?
Day alone with God. Day alone with God.
I never knew that. That's really good. Okay.
Over and over again, saying, "What is Chris talking about?"
Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm not with it.
You know, no. I just inherited that terminology from the boot camp team. I assume they got it from one of you guys, but maybe that's not true.
Yeah, I'd never heard it before, but anyway.
Okay.
I love it. I love it. So go ahead.
So it's like a contemplative thing, you know? And anyways, for about the last two or three years, we've been starting up this business called Soma Games, which is a sort of a Christian video game company. And I know for a lot of people that we might as well be saying that we're making Christian porn. It just doesn't make any sense. I get it. But there's this thing that this is a huge medium that really needs Jesus, and it's very influential in disseminating culture, and there's basically zero voice for God. So we wanted to do something. This is where I felt really strong that this was a calling that was put on me back in 2005, but there's been a lot of homework to do, a lot of kind of getting ready. And for the when I was sort of praying back in 2008, I remember really strongly this impression that for a while we were going to be hidden, that there was going to be sort of a smoke screen basically protecting us. I mean, it was protection more than anything else. So we could basically learn our chops, you know, get our team together, etc.
Yeah.
But then this last year, so this was just after Christmas, I got this notion that what was going to happen next is that was all gone away, and that it was time to step out and start engaging with the mainstream culture. And so, you know, that's the thing, is we're not looking to sell Christian video games to Christians. We're looking to influence the mainstream culture, the video game industry, for Christ. We want to earn a space at the table so that when it's GDC or E3 or whatever else, that we have a spot at that table that we've earned based on good work, but then also by walking with the Spirit, you know. And so it just feels like we've been coming out of a place of relative safety and protectedness to a place of significant risk. But then I also feel really that we've been strengthened and prepared for that. And it scares the pants off of me.
So, okay. So here you are, you know, you guys have been developing this, forming this. I mean, I got to come out to speak a little bit at the last Christian Gamers Association, Developers Association that you did, and it was great to see what you guys are doing, and that was just a small scale for me to see personally. And then after that, so not only are you creating this and almost reviving this coalition of Christians in this industry to stand up with their voice, you know, both in excellence and their words. But then I know shortly after that, you're invited to go to speak at George Fox University on calling. So it just
yeah.
It feels like God is kind of just opening up doors left and right for you. Is that kind of the feel you have? Or no, he's been doing that, and I just happen to see it for the first time.
No, that's really new. In fact, within a couple weeks after I had that dog day, like we've got things stacked up. So the George Fox thing started, which turned out I had just a much larger audience than I expected. And then I'm going to be out in February going to the National Religious Broadcasters. All of a sudden, for the first time, they're suddenly interested in video games. And so they're flying me out there. Our man JB is out at Mobile World Congress. We got invited on someone else's nickel to go show our games there. And we've got all these things actually stacked up. Relevant Magazine, we've been trying to get their attention for years. And on like January 28th, for the first time, they published a story that quoted us and talked about what we were doing. I mean, we're part of a larger picture, but it's the first time they've ever mentioned us or even noticed us. And it seems like it's actually coming now in a flood, and it's happening fast.
Okay, so for my sake at least, restate for me what your transcendent pursuit is for this year so I can kind of remember it, so when I see you I can ask you.
It's a little bit hard for me to put to words, but there's something that you've said, Gary, about how it's important that we bring the strength of our life to the world and let them deal with it. So something along that line. And by and large, the video game community, it's not that they're anti-Christian, but they don't know any. And so they're sort of left with what is a cultural, you know, largely negative picture, right? They just think that we're a bunch of Bible-thumping idiots. And to step into that space publicly and openly to say, not to do the secret Christian thing, right? I don't feel called to be like the guy who's sort of quietly living his faith. I feel that I'm called to be the guy who's loudly living his faith in an industry that has no idea what Christians look like. And so, you know, I feel like the call here is to offer everything that I have, including everything that we have, to speak to cultural issues, to speak to technological issues, to speak to moral issues in this business. And I don't expect it to be particularly welcome.
Mm-hmm. And you, Chris, you felt like in the past you were supposed to be a little bit more quiet, and that this year's a change. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the change, yeah.
And you're still trying to figure out what that's exactly going to mean. But you know,
yeah, I mean, right now you're just trying to keep it up with the doors.
Yeah. I think that's cool. I think that's great. I mean, I do think that,
as you said,
most people think video games are evil. You guys are just doing something. I don't know if most people think they're evil. That's too strong. But most people don't think I have a positive image of them. I think what you guys are doing is something radically different. And for you to stand up and say something about it is great.
It's interesting. We there's been this game that we just released before Christmas called Wind Up Robots, and we've been trying to get this thing out the door for most of the year, but it was like we just could not finish it. And it seemed like, in hindsight, it feels now like God. It was like one of these things where it was God's timing or no timing, because he just kept getting in the way. But we finally launched this thing, and it's been featured four times now. It wound up featured in Kotaku, and these are the magazines that are important in our industry, and it has this wonderful reception from the secular audience, which was really unexpected. And it says right in the credits, right, Jesus rocks. The whole theme is about spiritual warfare, and it's about healing. I mean, it's a very Christian game. It's not a didactic game. We're not teaching a moral lesson, but it's not like you have to. It's not like you have to be a Christian to recognize all the spirit that's in the story. But it's been wonderfully received, which is really unexpected.
That's great.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think of the game? I mean, did you enjoy writing it? How involved are you in the plot and the storyline?
I wound up basically being the writer, so I wrote the plot, and so that was my role.
So you were quite involved.
And I loved it. It was one of these things that at first we had a small idea that God just kept feeding, and it got bigger and bigger. It rolled into more and more things. And actually, I'm really happy with the story that we wound up with. And it's powerful. It's about a little kid who has bad dreams, and his grandfather's trying to call him up as a mentor and sort of teach him about the spirit. And there's just so many fun things we were able to work into it, and still make a game that was fun and didn't lose its fun in trying to teach a lesson, because it's not really about teaching a lesson. It's just about observation.
Okay.
And let me encourage the guys listening to this to actually just go online and get it and buy it, because I did right away. And, of course, my daughter, my 14-year-old daughter, was playing it immediately, and I'm still trying to figure out the first level. I'm still trying to figure out how to get these little guys and do this thing.
How to log in.
So, seriously, I want to encourage you guys to just get it and try it. You know, it's great. It's great. Well, Chris, thank you.
You got it.
Hey, yep. Chris, thanks. And Gary,
yeah,
I want to ask you your transcendent pursuit, if you don't mind.
I don't. I don't mind, because then I'll come back and ask Jeff and you the same question to talk about it again. Here's what's really amazing, guys. You know, I talked about this last time. I posted this fairly early. And what's amazing is it's actually happening now. I mean, as I've been praying about this, I just feel like God's been saying, all right, I put this on your heart because this is what I'm going to do. And so here's basically what I said was, what is on my heart in such a passionate way? And I still love everything we've always been doing, but for some reason, the passion that's at the top of my heart is to somehow create opportunities for others to walk in their calling. But to create opportunities that fit me, that fit my calling. So, you know, I'm not going to go out and create an opportunity that I know nothing of. It's about financial management or, you know, something like that. But rather, it involves what I'm doing, but what I'm doing, it creates an opportunity for someone else. And so, you know, I mentioned things on here like, you know, things that we're doing. If a guy says, man, I love this message. I want to bring more people into it. I love to talk into a man's life, and I'm saying, well, great, let's do a calling event right where you are. You host it, we'll do this thing. Or so many people said, I want to write. Well, one of the things, as people are writing toward that end, their own book, you know, John Hart is point man on doing a Basecamp book that we can all contribute to, and then, gosh, we'll send that thing out in every social circle that we have a connection to, and just let that go out for free and watch that spread and watch people come back and go, okay, I got to hear more about this. These guys are amazing. They're walking. And so that's another thing that I'm excited about. And then there's this, you know, Mayo Clinic idea. In fact, I posted the article in the forum discussion that I talked about, this article on how the Mayo Clinic operates, when I read this in 1999, and it so impacted me. And basically, the gist is you get, you know, Mayo Clinic gets these number of medical people together and say, now together we're going to cure this person. We're going to bring healing to him. No one's going to be the one person in charge, the voice. We're all going to lend our strength, our brilliance, our splendor, our eyes, our experience, and that we would have gatherings where we do that for each other. And we are doing that to an extent in the calling intensive. Okay, so let me just go back and say, Sam, real quickly, of kind of how this, I see this already starting to unfold. So in February, you know, we're doing a base camp gathering at your place in Ann Arbor.
Are we?
Yes,
no,
we are.
Okay.
I know. And so, you know, so guys listening, the whole plan is really based on this, to say we're going to have six more spots that are left over after Sam and myself and Jeff have jumped into those spots. So it's nine altogether. And so what we want to do is have this time of saying, okay, we want, and this is for men who have been through the calling intensive, to come up and share briefly their picture exercise and what they've learned from it since then, the feedback, what have they learned from it since then, what has God been saying to them, how has God been revealing things to them, speaking to them, And then taking time to say, all right, we've not only been listening to this man and his heart, but now we're going to listen to God. We're going to prophetically listen to God and speak in this man's life and spend 2 hours over a man to say, okay, this is what we believe is the strategy that God has given you for the next, you know, the next steps or the next year or years, or this is the thing it seems like God is focused on. So we're actually going to be doing that, which excites me. And, guys, there's four more spots left, so you ought to jump on this one. It's going to be amazing. Okay, two more examples real quickly. So Keith Medley, who a lot of you guys know, he's the guy that developed the 27-string guitar, and we had him on a campfire conversation. Just talked to him a couple days ago, and we're going to get him on a campfire conversation 2 weeks from now, because it's amazing what's gone on in his life since the last time. But, you know, he would really love to do a calling event, or maybe I'd say an artist event. And we talked through this. Would it be like a Friday night, Saturday? It's not a sleepover. Everybody comes back. And he talks about developing in your art. What does that process look like? And he plays while he, you know, in the middle of it. And, you know, and he and I might share a little bit of that time together to help build that opportunity for him to speak. I love the idea.
Yeah.
I love it. You know, it's in an infancy stage. And then of course, there's a number of guys who said, hey, I want to do a calling retreat here, and we're working on that. And then Kevin Miller with Frasian Academy, we got off a call yesterday and then kind of went to a private conversation, and he just said, Gary, said, I've taken Frasian Academy. It feels like I'm limiting it now because I'm maxed out, and I need other people to give me perspective and some ideas of what to do and just to kind of come alongside of me more like that to help me. And he said, would you do that? And, you know, I said, well, Kevin, this is what I want to do, is help people walk in their calling. So it's, and I don't know how that'll turn out, but it's amazing how, as I've written that down and now I've been praying towards it,
yeah,
and I brought that up to you guys, how things are actually starting to move in that direction. It's exciting.
Well, Gary, I mean, listen, I think most guys listening here think, I thought Gary's been trying to help guys find their calling for the last 20 years. And yet I certainly experience an enthusiasm it's something in your voice that says something new, something you just sort of turned a corner in 2012. How is 2012, what you're doing right now, different than what you've been doing for the last 20 years?
Well,
I mean, you gave some examples, but what is it? Because I certainly hear something in your voice.
Yeah, okay, so real quickly, and I'd love to do this on another campfire conversation, but I mean, God did some major dismantling, disruption, dismantling, and then rebuilding in my life, starting back in July, major. And then it feels like I'm in the release stage of that. So it's the, you know, disrupt, dismantle, rebuild, release. And I feel like I'm still in the rebuilding, but I'm a little bit in the release category of this. And so I just feel like he's given me some more ideas to say, Gary, it's a different day now. What you've done is good. It's built, everything builds toward the present time. But I'm going to add some things now. This is some refined focusing. And it, anyway, you know what? I can hardly articulate it past that, and I'd love to do it later when I can. So, yeah.
No, it's really clear that God's doing something. It really is. I think it's great. It's just good to hear in your voice, in your countenance, the strength of the change of what God's doing.
Yeah, thank you. Yep, and I'll get more out about that. So let me, because you're asking me questions, you've been asking, let me give you just a little bit of break, and I'm going to go right now to Jeff and ask Jeff. Jeff, tell us again about your transcendent purpose, pursuit for 2012, and then I know things have been, you and I have talked a little bit, and things have just been happening since that conversation 2 weeks ago that I know you're not sure what to do with yet, but things are happening, occurring, popping up.
Yeah. You know, just hearing your transcendent pursuit, Gary, and just wanting to talk about that, this offer of base camp and working with other guys. So many of us had been through the Wild at Heart retreat, and all this good information came at us, and we were able to go home. But when we went home, we were just together with friends who might have went, or we might have been pretty much on our own. And here you come out of that, and you're sitting there going, hey, listen, I'll talk to you. I'm available. I'll listen to you. I'll do a retreat with you. And, you know, this thing of helping men find their voice, is so beautiful. And, that the price that you have to pay to do that, you know, I know that price. And so, it is remarkable. And so I just want to say thank you, because I think one of the true aspects of a elder is his availability. that you have all this experience and you have availability and that guys can call in and talk to you. And the amount of people that you talk to and the amount of friends that you have and the community you have now and how it's expanded is incredible, you know. And I've been much the recipient of that. And so I have to say thank you, Lord, for all the dismantling that's happened in your life. And because death has worked in you, but life has worked in us. And we respect that and we honor that. Okay?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So, on to your life.
And
go ahead.
My transcendent pursuit has been this idea of writing. And I'm looking at my story and our stories, and my story is no different than anybody else's in the sense of it's epic, actually. We want to diminish it because we've been told all of our lives our stories aren't important, but in actuality, they're incredible. Matter of fact, the story is so big, I can't tell it on my own. I need Father to point out what and take me back into some things that and I need to know where he was sometimes when some of the harder chapters of our life were being written. And so I'm writing a book and then going back into my story. I'm so into it that next weekend Dana has to go away for the weekend, so I'm going to drive to my neighborhood in New Jersey and I'm going to walk the old neighborhood and just go, okay, God, what do you want to say, you know? And so I'm taking another swing back through story right now and going back and maybe recovering some things, getting some clarity on some things in my life in order to, you know, make that definition of who am I really. I think that's such a huge mystery for us all and that we're not really fully sure of the weightiness of our life. And so my pursuit this year is to go back and write the damn book. I got to write it. But also it's the interaction with God, and it's a pleasure to sit there and write with him, you know, because I'm hanging out with the co-author of my own story. And so whereas the last 5 years have been mostly giving out, a lot of giving out, this year it looks like I'm taking a little bit of a break and talking with him. And then if the story is not interesting enough, the doctors just released me yesterday to go back to fly. So all that goes back now to the FAA, and they give their thumbs up or thumbs down. But all that's in play. And so there's this enormous amount of, oh, my gosh, what are you doing, you know, thing. And this idea of going back into my career that I had left 6 years ago, but going back not as the same man I was 6 years ago. It's just been an incredible experience, and but he might be wanting to redeem even flying, even my own career, you know. So it's a great journey, and I'm in the process of it. So I'm writing every day. I'm getting to experience my transcendent pursuit on a daily basis right now, and I love it. Is that what you were looking for?
Yeah. What I'm struck by is, you know, as you're writing and you're writing your story is still unfolding, and it's kind of like you can hardly keep up with it because now, you know, by whatever your heart's deadline is for this book to be done writing it, you know, there's going to be more to write about because, you know, who knows where this is going to go, right? With now, you know, you've pretty much been given, as you said, the clearance to go back to flying again. There's more things here. But, gosh, that could... I mean, it's just amazing. At some point, you have to draw a line and say, this is all I'm going to write about. I have to stop here, but it's still unfolding.
That's right.
It's amazing.
That's right. There's a new chapter being written. Matter of fact, the title of the book has to change if I actually go back to flying, you know? So, you know, everything's in motion right now. And, you know, it just goes back to this idea of journey, you know, that God is working out our, you know, he's working all this out on the journey with us. And that we're moving, it's in motion, it's happening, you know. Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, Sam, what what is it that you like about writing? Why do you like writing?
Well, I honestly love the deeper parts of it. I love introducing an idea, and you think I'm going to stay on the surface with it, but eventually I'm working down to the deeper areas of issues. And I love that. I love exploring, going into the depth of who is God and who am I, and exploring through writing. So right now, probably 80% of my writing is in the trash bin, or I don't think I'll use it, but I love getting in there and writing and starting to explore and just go down that tributary or that tributary and just go, oh, this looks good. I'm just going to go down there right now. I'm going to leave the main text, and I'm going to go down there. And, Father, do you want to show me anything? Is there any revelation you want to bring? And, you know, I just go into it each day with this idea that God is a God who wants to reveal, you know. And you know, there's a lot of stuff in the way. You know, Jim McFarland had a great point. You know, forgiveness is something that gets in the way. You know, if there's something we should have forgiven a long time ago but we're holding on to, you know, there's things that get in the way. And but then after that, there's these things that God wants to reveal. And so it's just so much fun to write this stuff.
See, that's, yeah. I mean, what you answered is perfect. It's just what I thought, because I think a lot of guys write with this idea in the back of their mind that I'm going to write, you know, the next million-dollar bestseller. But what I heard you saying was you're writing because the process itself is helping you explore ideas, deep reflection, God, yourself, your place in the universe, all
yeah.
that kind of stuff. I mean, is that
yeah.
right? I mean,
yeah.
of course, everybody wants
yeah.
to write the next million-copy bestseller, but it sounds to me like if nobody was going to read it, you would still want to do it just because it's cool. doing something for you. In your relationship
well,
with God.
I'm counting on you and Gary are going to read it, right? So
I'll read it.
I'm going to tell myself. And maybe Kevin Miles.
But Dana will read
you know,
it.
So maybe
three
copies right there. That's all I'm working on. No, it's more of an exploration into God. It's just the continuation of that, you know, but going through stories. And you know what? You know, I've been in this now with Gary for going on 4 years, and I'm still recovering things of my own story.
Yeah.
He's been working in our life since day one. I mean, and he's just making some of those connections of where he was, you know, with this idea. And I keep hearing the Father, did you notice me there? You know, I was doing all this. Did you notice me? You know? So it's quite a process. I'm loving it.
That's great.
Hey, let me ask one more question, and then I want to ask Sam about his. But you've talked about what you love about this. You talked about, you know, you get to hang out with the author of your story and talk through all this. What are you finding is the most difficult things you have to fight through to get this done?
Well, I think it's the difficult areas of your life that more the wounded areas that have shut you down. And when you go into there and you explore some of those chambers of your heart, you open up some of those chambers and you find that you're bleeding there. There is unforgiveness or something, a tragedy happened and I was left by the roadside bleeding and I have no explanation for what happened. I don't have any clarity on it, you know. So when you go into those areas, it resurrects some of those feelings that and hurts. And some of the, you know, a lot of those things. And so I realized that as I'm writing it, I'm also kind of swamped by some of that stuff. I'm resurrecting it almost. And of course, that's the definition of a good historian. He can actually raise the dead, you know. And he can go back and tell a story and raise the dead. Well, that's sort of kind of what goes on. But also what you wind up raising, though, is a lot of the good things that you've forgotten. You've actually let the pain overshadow some of the incredible events that God had done in your life.
That's a good point.
And so you know, that's I'm actually more discovering that I'm looking back and I'm going, oh my gosh, that was unbelievable. You know, here I'm focused in on this one thing that went wrong, and look at the five things that happened here, you know. So now in my book, that's transcendent. That is just not something I was thinking about 4 years ago before I met you, Gary, you know, and we started this whole journey into story, you know. So I love that.
That's really good. You know, Jim McFarland has a great comment here. He said, so, Sam and Gary, if one or two guys discover their transcendent pursuit, isn't that better than a bestseller? Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's
a great point. I love it. Okay, we're getting near the end of time. So, Sam, I'd love for you to share again your transcendent pursuit and, you know, what's happening since you mentioned it 2 weeks ago and so on.
Yeah, I had my transcendent pursuit. When Gary posed the question, I was sort of floored by the idea of thinking about it. I mean, I'm used to saying I'm going to lose X amount of weight or something. And to say something, I want transcendent, life-changing, deep, was really a great time of reflection. And I ended up thinking of two things. The first is I want to pursue some kind of deep inner life of prayer, of reflection, of seeking God. It's similar to what Randy said, Randy Luce, when he was talking about walking with God. I want to pursue some kind of life where I'm thinking about deep issues, not just the surface issue of, you know, where am I going to have lunch, but something like, what's the meaning of life? What is God saying in these moments? What is God saying to me? Why am I angry? Why am I happy? An inner life of reflection and walking with God in that. That was the first thing. And secondly, I want to pursue just sort of offering what God gives me, not just offering where the needs are, but offering what God has given me to bring to the world. And I think it'll come out of some of the reflection and prayer and that kind of stuff. But just to say, God's given me this, I'm going to offer it. Whether I think it's going to be received or not almost isn't as important as, this is what God's given me, I'm just going to offer it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Sam,
yeah.
What is that? What has God given you that's for the world around you? Who are you?
Well, you know, it was interesting. I would say that, you, Jeff, Gary, and I, we do a lot of blogs. We do that kind of stuff. And I think that what happened is I made this conscious decision a couple weeks ago just to sort of reflect and then offer it. And then that week I had just started reading Colossians, where I read this passage where, you know, Paul's praying that we have all understanding and spiritual wisdom and that kind of stuff. I started thinking about, yeah, I want understanding. And I realized that when I say to God I want understanding, I normally want it about something small, like this decision or that decision or what I should do here or what I should do there. And I felt like God just saying, Sam, you're always asking for something too small. You almost always are. I mean, I think God wants to be with me in those small decisions. But I think God also wants me to be in something much bigger and grander. And it led me to write a post, but I felt like the blog there was just what God was doing with me in that heart, in that moment. I didn't care what anybody, whether people received it or not. I wasn't trying to speak to a particular audience. I was just offering what God gave me in that very moment. And I liked it. I just enjoyed it. There was some kind of fun or joy that I got out of it, just because I felt like I was offering the very thing that God had given me that week. That doesn't mean it's going to give me a blog every week. Sometimes it's just going to be talking to somebody, sharing, or, you know, over a cup of coffee or something. But there was something free and, I don't know, rich or deep or cool just about saying, hey, God's speaking this to me. I'm just going to tell other people that I know. I'm going to offer what God's doing with me in this moment.
You know, and Sam, I loved when you wrote that, when you first wrote that, what is now a blog. I put it out, you'd put it out, your own blog earlier. You had said to me, when you sent it to me, you just said, this is earlier, you just said, hey, I just wrote this because I had to, and I had so much fun doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, I'm really struck as I reflect on all the different conversations on Basecamp with the different men, including the ones tonight we've talked about. How many of us feel like we need to write? And I love Jim's comment here, you see him as James Klein here, but Jim Klein, when he said, whether we write a book or not, I think we all need to write our stories for us, for our families, and our brothers. And I so agree with that. I think that's the greatest motive. I know I really wished my dad and mom passed away a long time ago. And I really wish that somewhere I had my dad's story. I don't have it. I mean, he and I didn't talk a lot, so I don't have it that way. I get bits and pieces talking to my sister and brother, but not much. I wish his story was written somewhere. I wish I knew who the man was. And I just think there's so much power in writing out our story just for our own family and our closest brothers, mm-hmm. let alone the idea of the of the clarity it gives us. I was, you know, I told you John Blaze, who was my editor, I think it was him who sent me a quote, he actually tried to Google the quote, and I couldn't find it. But I think he said that it was Dawson Trotman, the guy who started The Navigators, said something like, writing causes us to detangle our thoughts through our fingers. And it is so true. There's nothing fun about detangling things, not cords, not thoughts, you know. And so that's why I think writing is hard. But boy, I tell you what, when it's done, it feels so good to go, I think my thoughts are straight here now. They make sense. I had to work hard to do this, but I think that's the only way we can do it well, including our stories. So I just see all of us writing, journal, whatever we want to call it, journaling, you know, historical records, whatever we want to do, but I think it's important.
That's great, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Detangling our thoughts through our fingers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, guys, any final thoughts? Because
I'm
going to wrap it up here. We're at 7 o'clock. We're almost at 5 after now. So any final thoughts?
Boy,
Jeff,
I thought
Sam?
It was 9 o'clock.
Not in the center of the country, in the center of everything.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, this is great. Thanks, you guys. This is just fun to talk together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it sure has been good. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We will, you guys listening, we're going to, Jeff and Sam and I, in some form, in some manner, we're going to try to remember to remind you of the things that you put down here. And I'm not so much talking in terms of accountability as much as I'm talking in terms of encouraging, reminding, walking alongside, helping. So we're going to send you back what you wrote and just occasionally ask you, how is it going? What have you learned so far? Would you refine what you said? Has it changed? You know, and that kind of thing, because I need it as well. We all need this. So we want this to continue on and not simply be a subject for two base camp conversations. So,
think that along those lines, I mean, I think that we really all want to pursue this. We don't just want to write something down at the beginning of the year, but we do want to pursue it. So I think that we all want to do that, mm-hmm. and I thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know what? I mean, an easy, tangible one is I'm excited for Jeff to write and to finish writing with On His Heart. I'm excited. I want to make sure he does. I want to make sure you do that, Jeff. So if I can, you know, however I can keep encouraging you and paving the way, I want to do that for you. So, and for everyone
thank
here
you.
With their
thank, I need it. You know? Like the statement, all artists need tons of support, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of us needs support. I mean, it's one thing to want to do something, but you find that you actually need other people to help you in this transcendent pursuit. So thank you.
Yep. Yeah, that's just a great quote that you sent, you know, out on that blog was that quote of, you know, like you said, artists need a support around them, or however that was, and that's just a great, true statement.
Yeah. Truth can even come through Martin Scorsese, you know. That proves that truth is just truth, you know.
So everyone, thank you. Great conversation. We will continue this in maybe a different form here later. So I want to encourage you. For the we have two more conversations on the list in the queue up in the top of the page. So love for you to join those. Love for you guys, especially for those of you who are within driving distance of Ann Arbor, to consider coming to that one, as well as the one in June at the Lake House. in North Carolina. So,
hey, listen, or flying here, because this is going to be a great time at the end of February. I mean, to have
right.
personal time with each other, talking about our calling, praying
yep.
over, talking, it's going to be great. So fly
here. I think it's going to be amazing. I mean, I can't wait for it. I need guys to be seeing and speaking in my life. You know, we're all there receiving the same thing from each other, so it'll be powerful.
Yeah.
So, everyone, thank you, and good night, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, you guys.